Alright guys, it's time for another edition of Ring Rust Retro. Please, hit that music.
I dedicate this to the throwback. Like seeing a shirt in 06, ECW, one night stand, I won't hold back. Like take the Ren Batista battle in the backlash. 07 to one man stand, we'll bring it back to the days of Lord Alfred Hayes. Hollywood drops the leg. They say the days of old are the best, though. That's why we bring to you Ring Rust Retro. Let's go.
Alright guys, it is time for WWF Invasion 2001. Did they get the F out yet? Or was this, this was WWF,
right? The F was still there.
Our buddy Dante Rodriguez, he's like, guys, I know you've been covering a lot of shit pay-per-views, so I want you to cover another one. You know it's gonna be good. It wasn't. It wasn't good. It should have been good. It could have been awesome, but they...
There was a couple good things.
But overall...
Not good.
Well, I blame the entire booking of the invasion angle for that.
Well, that's Vince McMahon. You blame the right person there, dude.
Nah.
So Invasion 2001. BG, real quick, how did Dante go to do this?
Patreon.com/RingRustRadio. Donate to the retro tier. Then email us, RingRustRadio@yahoo.com, with the event that you want us to cover. As long as it's somewhat wrestling related, like a wrestler is in there for like 3 seconds, we'll do it.
Yeah, we proved that. We're fucking with that WMAC Masters. I had somebody be like, I can't even find the show. I was like, I'm so sorry. So let's start FDR promo to start the show. Why is he freaking sitting? That's so disrespectful. Yeah, huh? Is he taking a knee over here? What the fuck is he doing, huh?
Oh. WCW and ECW invading WWF is exactly what he was talking about, though, in that promo he was cutting.
Yep. Wasn't at all talking about the battles of World War II or anything like that. But whatever.
Nah.
I like the intro.
I like FDR. Epic. I love FDR. He's one of the best speaking presidents of all time, and he's had some of the best speeches in the history of the world. But yeah, I don't know how it fits here. No.
Totally. Maybe the only better promo man, Triple H, needed more of him in this opening.
I had to write this down because I was genuinely sad during this time and actually stopped watching for a few months. So I didn't actually see this pay-per-view live.
Really? This was an insane time to be a wrestling fan.
Imagine if you're me, WCW and ECW die in a span of couple months there.
Well, no, they didn't die. Shit got crazy, WrestleMania 17 time, and then the possibilities were endless. Yep. And then
Nope. I was out. I was sad and I was out and I was destroyed. I was really sad during this time. So this was I hated wrestling during this time.
You know who else was sad? Jim Ross, because he had to call this fucking show with Michael Cole.
Yeah. But BG, you talk about 2002. Most of the stuff in 2002, I didn't see. Because that was literally the time that I fucking was out.
It's a bad time to be out.
I know. Looking back, I probably shouldn't have been out, but I mean, at the moment, every time I saw like the results or whatever, when somebody's like, what happened? It was like, I'm so glad I'm not watching right now. Fuck you guys. Because I hated Vince and the WWF.
No, you didn't.
I did. I loved WCW. Nah. I loved ECW. And the thing is, if you loved both of them, you were taught very early on, you shouldn't like the other company. They said it all the time.
I watched both.
I taped Raw and we would still watch it, but I would run through it fast.
But you just didn't want Eric Bischoff.
Oh, it never changed.
No, I just stopped taping them. Edge and Christian defeated Lance Storm and Mike Awesome. It's now 1-1 magically because fucking there was a pre-show match where the Alliance won and no one explained it to me. What was the match?
Chavo beats Sky Tuhati in an all-time great encounter on Heat.
Hey, you could go back and watch it on WWE Network probably.
Nice.
Yeah.
So kudos there. Lance Storm has the charisma of Mike Chiari.
A lot, thank you. He also had a jobber entrance, him and Mike Awesome, for this match to start the show. I don't know if I've seen that.
Well, nah, welcome to hell, because you're about to stay there for 3 hours. This match was better than it deserved to be, but it should not have opened the show.
It was sloppy to start.
Yeah, well.
He almost died jumping over the ropes after using Edge as a launching pad.
Well,
not a great plan.
It's not.
Michael Cole also tried to tell me that Mike Awesome winning the hardcore title was like a huge deal for the Alliance.
It was.
That was its crowning achievement.
It was like the fourth biggest star.
I was about to say, when none of your big stars come over, you have to fucking grasp at that 70s dude.
I wish you would have been that 70s dude in WWF. Christian spear greater than Goldberg spear, just as an aside here.
That's not stupid.
True. What about Edge?
Edge's spear is poop.
Christian and Edge are equal, both better than Goldberg.
It's pretty crazy that Edge and Christian really weren't a tag team for that long.
Yeah, it was only a couple of years, really.
I can't believe Mike Awesome took the L.
I can.
I think that's the
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Earl Hebner defeated Nick Patrick.
Main event.
Oh my god.
And
the two worst refs of all time in a match.
Yeah, I fucking hate them so much.
Terrible Vince promo, horrible package to a match between referees.
The Vince promo was awesome. His dance, his Edge and Christian dance. Incredible.
No, so fucking bad. Hebner loyal sends the jump to TNA. That's what they said. Earl Hebner, super loyal.
He didn't jump.
But I jumped.
He got fired for selling illegal merchandise or some shit.
Listen, I screwed Brett.
I thought that was in TNA.
I screwed Brett's shirts. He sold them out of the back of his truck.
Oh.
To be fair, I hate Earl, but he did roll Nick Patrick by talking about his shitty WCW shirt.
That was so funny.
In the promo.
Their referee battle was just like the nerdiest fight ever. That's like if the chess club and the math club come face to face. And I wrote here, the referee team's battling is the lamest version of West Side Story ever.
Or the lamest lumberjack.
And they're just like fucking da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
This is ideal usage of Mick Foley here. This
yep.
is a special guest referee.
I'll come later on, too.
Did you see Earl stomping a child into Nick Patrick in
he
this
did.
Match?
He stone-colded him. He totally did. Cole is dressed like a fucking asshole.
t-shirt.
And I just, like, I can't fucking stomach him at all. I hate him.
Well, you know, Brian Hebner looked like more of an asshole. He looked like a Josh Matthews clone.
Well, Josh Matthews showed up and stole his look from all those guys. Just think, Cole was a trendsetter. All those guys are copying Cole because he's the one who had originally the frosted hair and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
Deborah talking to Sarah is a better acting performance than The Miz, for sure.
Sarah Cole's Undertaker Mark.
I fucking hate Sarah.
Yep. Yep.
Why was DDP's gimmick in WWF kidnapping everyone's wives? Because they were talking about how he kidnapped Deborah. He tried to kidnap fucking Sarah.
Dude, I was so mad. This is why every
this guy is the ultimate babyface of WCW.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. You're going to kidnap everyone's
that's
wife.
That's why.
He was the... Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's the people's champion coming in here. There's another people's champion. He said, he's like, we should probably do people's champion versus people's champion. And, like, had the crowds go crazy. And they're like, you know what? How about you just, you know... Try to take Sarah and then Deborah. How about that?
Diamond Dahmer Page.
Diamond
was he still with Kimberly at this time?
Yes.
Okay, so he definitely didn't need to be stealing anybody else's wife either.
I think he's just...
She orchestrated it.
Yeah, she's behind the whole thing. You didn't get to that part yet.
Yeah.
The APA defeated Chuck Palumbo and Sean O'Hare and
dream match.
WWE, this is just, you just see the lack of depth that they got from WCW at this point and ECW. So
my favorite part about this is the video package. It's like random appearances by Haku and K Quick, and then like Hardcore Holly wearing fucking jorts.
Yeah,
well, in the video package, Brashfo says, "Yum yum, come get some."
Honestly, like, yo, if I'm in a bar, we're both fucked up, and you're like, yum, yum, come get you some. I'd be like, you know what? I don't really want any.
That was Dahmer's line.
Yeah.
Actually, usually.
This was such a lackluster PPV. WCW team blew so hard. This was booked by a jaded Vince who wanted to see their freaking bodies.
WCW getting fucking rolled so far, which is how it should have been.
Yeah, because they didn't get any of the good guys. You literally have nobody but,
it's
like,
realistic.
Booker T.
And whose fault is that?
Booker T. Vince for
it's
fucking
WCW.
Not wanting to pay anybody.
No, it's WCW's fault. The people who didn't want to fucking work.
No, they didn't want to be owned by fucking Vince, who's treating them like
no,
shit. They watch
it. They're getting paid to sit on their
fucking
ass.
They're lazy.
Exactly. Hey, I would too, though. I would get paid to sit on
their ass. I mean, I don't blame them,
only
but I'm
Booker
saying.
And DDP were like, no, I gotta go work.
Well, they thought the pasture would be greener. I mean, for Booker T, I mean, eventually, but he fucking went through he and DDP went through so much bullshit. You can't justify Vince treating them like that. That's ridiculous.
Well, they only wrestled for like a year.
That's the thing. DDP was treated like shit to start. Like, they did a terrible job introducing him, but injuries just knocked him out anyways, so. He was only going to make so much of an impact.
It didn't knock him out for good because he showed up in TNA a couple years later.
Well, on a very limited situation.
Bam! Go ahead.
He didn't know DDP Yoga yet.
That's very true. He had only known then what he knows now. Terrible match. Why did this happen?
Had to be done.
Yeah.
Jericho kills his promo with Vince.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Steph sucks on the other hand, but Shane saves her and Heyman has me hooked.
I laugh at everything riding on Billy Kidman.
That's my favorite. That's their secret weapon when they're down 3-0. And this was before Steph had full-on Rollins voice.
Yeah.
She was still human. Yes. So much Billy Kidman, too, in our lives. I did a little math. He's been on 92% of our retros.
Uh-huh.
Justified.
I don't know. Is it? I really don't even know.
The horse? for X-Pac against Billy Kidman, the light heavyweight title that X-Pac is wearing, it looks like one of those toy belts you could buy at Target.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's like tiny and plastic.
But we did get the X-Factor theme song.
You missed the Tori Wilson and Stacey Keebler promo here.
Oh, that's after.
No, that's after.
That's after.
We'll get to that.
Okay, Billy Kidman defeated X-Pac. This match was fine. X-Pac sucks.
X-Pac was very real in 2001, by the way. Yep. Yeah. Everyone hated him.
Yep. I always feared that Billy Kidman was going to, like, snap his neck doing a shooting star.
To me, I hated X-Pac because he always felt like he regressed. It felt like he was really good when he was younger and coming up, and he was getting better, and then all of a sudden he just stopped and went the other way.
Well, he took all the drugs
I think the hurt and the drugs will combine into fucking caring. I don't know.
The finish of this was fucking stupid because X-Pac hit it, the X-Factor, like, as he jumped off the ropes. Like, how is that not the finish of the match? He kicked out of it. Fucking Roman Reigns Kidman over here. Terrible.
They set the stage for the whole indie scene.
Did you see how wet he was?
That's true. He was very wet. Mm-hmm.
No, 3 count set the scene for the indies.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay,
speaking of wet.
Mm.
Donnie.
I said it already. You said it was too late. You didn't jump in. Tori and Stacey have a promo and fucking Vince Russo fucking wrote it while he was wet.
Good for the Hardy Boys.
They legit just said, my breasts are amazing, my ass is amazing, there's just no need for innuendo here.
Yeah, like, when you say literally, you actually mean not when people are like, literally,
my
I literally
mean
no,
it.
This is very literal.
Literal definition of the word.
They said those words. They said those actually. Yep. There was no, like, I like your melons. She was, like, actually holding a melon and shit.
Actually,
like,
their boobs.
Raven defeated William Regal. Raven, criminally underrated. But I thought this match, while it was okay, didn't really mesh. I thought it was better
slow.
Than this. It was slow. Kaz's
running was even slower.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Is that a freaking computer?
We wouldn't do our show because of that.
Yeah, he hated our intro to our show, so Taz wouldn't talk to us.
The best part about this match, there was a sign in the crowd that said, "Will trade PS2 for ride on Russian space shuttle." I don't know why.
That's a good sign.
I'm sure that Russians were selling space missions or something. I don't know. They're still doing it to this day.
Back then, fucking PS2, red hot. So that was a good offer. It was a really good offer.
It really was. I think I'd still take them up on it. Is that the PS2? It's like, yeah, Mr. Russian, it is a PS2. Oops. Would you like the rocket? It's like, yeah.
Right, this rocket.
Oh, that's discussing your pervert.
What?
Before the next match, there was a segment with Undertaker and Kane, and then Vince comes to talk to him. Best part of it, Kane just absolutely admiring Undertaker's shadow boxing.
Yeah.
He's like shaking his head like, that's fucking good punching.
I mean, Undertaker in an It's My Yard shirt, and fuck Roman Reigns reason number 334. Fucking hate
it. This is yard now, baby girl.
I know, you know what, looking back now, we actually saw the passing of the yard.
Mm-hmm.
We
don't have to look back. We knew at the time.
I didn't even care to look. I was looking at the exits as I was walking away.
Corey Matthews.
Chris Kanyon, Hugh Morris, and Sean Stasiak defeated Albert, Big Show, and Billy Gunn.
I don't remember this at all.
No. I said, who booked this? Jamie Noble? Poop match. He called the shit poop.
X-Factor theme song though.
Yeah. Big Show shirt said Big Show with an arrow to his dong. But I was told many times over the years that he had a baby dick, so I think we need to get Justin Roberts back on the show to see.
Never happened.
Mm. Absolutely disgusting.
We get like 9 questions with each interview. I would just like, if each question has like a big like lead up to it, but the same question, like, and how about his dong? It's like, you in 1999, you first started with WWE in a capacity behind the scenes. So how big was Vince McMahon's dong? And he's just like, you know, it's like pretty big, but yeah, I loved it behind the scenes. We're like, Mike?
I'd like to know more about your time with John Cena. Like, how was it like behind the scenes? And also, how big was his penis?
It's like, is every day, it's like, was that in lieu of a question not about dick? Go ahead.
It's all about dick. Absolutely disgusting that Meat stole Mr. Perfect's theme music.
Listen, it could have worked.
Mm-hmm.
It could have worked. You know, if you didn't label him Meat to start Stasiak's career, you know what I mean?
It couldn't have worked. They called Hugh Morris a rising star.
Oh, boy.
Hugh Morris over here, piece of shit, fucking beating people up and treating them like shit during the... I'm so glad fucking Albert...
Naked.
Yeah, I'm so glad Albert...
Tensai was the IC champion at this time.
It was a different time. It was a different time.
Yep.
It was a time.
And his... By the way, on Prince Albert's shirt or on his pants, it was a pointing to his dick, say, I'm Prince Albert.
Everyone had a shirt or pants that pointed to their dick at this time.
It was a simpler time in the world.
I miss it.
I think I talked about it. This is where my fucking talk of dongs came from. It's being raised in this time period.
Great.
Great Booker T promo with Shane McMahon here. Fucking Booker T proving why he deserves much more than he fucking got.
Yeah.
But
underrated.
We'll pretend fucking racism wasn't abound. Fucking
this is where
shit.
We learned about Chavo beating Scotty Too Hotty.
Yeah, this is where they teach us. They're like, oh yeah, we need to tell you why they're up one because they're about to be tied. Because Tajiri defeated Taz. I was so pumped for this match. The suplexes from Taz were so good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't long enough. Taz should have never lost. He was booked like poop by WWE. Fuck you, Vince. It's so sad. Because I just also watched another pay-per-view where Tajiri jobs out to Jonathan Coachman. And I look at this and I'm like, ooh, yikes.
Tajiri was super over, though. Everyone loved him.
For sure.
These are two of my favorites from ECW.
Taz was really nothing at this point, but he kind of like DDP, too. He wouldn't have had a long run regardless because of injuries, unfortunately. Yeah. So they kind of got him at a bad time. It's amazing how quickly he fell off after like the debut against Angle, though.
So what you're telling me is that Vince McMahon fucks people up before they get injured, like Sting.
What I'm telling you is
DDP and fucking.
Well, you agreed with the Sting, everything about it, so you can't say that.
Well, you should have taken down. So Seth Rollins is just dangerous. That's all there is to that.
No.
So in this match, I like how Tim White stares at Taz's green fucking face.
Yep, this is my favorite.
Doesn't wonder what the fuck happened here.
I always loved the green mist, but it was always hilarious. Like the refs could not conclude if somebody got sprayed with fucking green.
You didn't
mist.
See it. You can't rule on it if you didn't see it.
Yes, you can.
Clearly, right on his face.
No. Hey, listen. That never. I never.
He threw up on his own face.
I handed him a water balloon and kicked him, and it splashed up in his face. So weird, huh? Fucking look away again. Watch it happen again. Hardcore Holly, more like hard ass Holly.
Yeah.
Nice. Friend of the show.
It's amazing how his character was such a dick, and like people would say that he's such a dick, but he's very nice to us.
Yeah, he's always very nice to us. But right here, he literally bullies a guy in WCW
shirt. Awesome. Yeah.
I'm like, fuck this. Fuck
I
this
loved
guy.
It.
Fuck hard-ass Holly.
There should have. They were at WWF New York. There should have been a live Saliva performance, I think.
What was the name of that song? I forget now.
Always. Always, always, always.
I don't need to say the same word over again.
That's
true.
What it was. That was the song.
The song was called Always.
A simpler time. No, the song was probably called like A Ballad to My Dad. Something like that. And it's just like, I hate you. I don't like the way you got me. It's like, all right. You're angsty.
Yeah,
got it.
It actually was a really good song.
It wasn't a good song. Fuck you. That's how I know you were just a WWE mark, because you're like, Flo Rida's a really talented musician.
No, not like Flo Rida or Lunch Pail Lewis
what
or any of
what did
guys.
Coach call? What did he say this week? He said somebody was a great rapper. Oh, what the hell was he saying?
He was talking about Jay-Z, and he was talking about,
but who,
I don't
yeah,
know.
He was saying, John Mayer!
John Mayer, the great pop artist, John Mayer.
He's like,
the great hip-hop artist.
They're like, what the hell happened to you, coach? He's like, I don't know a damn thing at all. The only reason Vince didn't fuck over RVD was because he was so undeniably good, and Vince loved his fucking legs. He's like, oh, shit, you're like a Kevin Von Erich kind of guy over here. Look at your legs. Yeah.
Well, the segment before RVD versus Jeff Hardy was fucking great, because RVD just runs in there fucking crazy, just hits Matt with a chair, and then Jeff's reaction was so good. Like, RVD runs away, and Jeff's just like, damn it.
The acting. I said, RVD, yes! Jeff Hardy, yes! Okay, yes, match. All around. Yeah, this is awesome.
This was match of the night for me.
This was one of the few things that actually got right during the invasion.
Yep.
Fuck JR for saying only a small portion of the fans liked RVD and ECW. Don't fucking even, you piece of shit.
Well, after the attack happened, Cole's like, we're going to see RVD versus Jeff later in the night. And then, like, literally, like, seconds later, so I guess he wasn't technically wrong.
He's correct.
Yeah, he's definitely correct. He knows what he's talking about. I give him fucking...
No,
he's the fucking worst.
No, he's not. Shut up. So many good spots. Actually, a match I'd recommend watching again. I'd recommend going back to watch this to somebody who didn't watch
the
interview.
The freaking powerbomb that Jeff... Well, that, but the powerbomb Jeff did to RVD off the apron... Where RVD just straight up hit the fucking floor, that'd kill his back.
Yeah.
That looked like brutal. Yeah.
He never cared.
RVD took so many hard spots, too. Yep. He took, and the thing is, everybody's like, you know, high flying guy, he did all that shit, and he was a good technical wrestler. He took hardcore spots all the fucking time. And he usually was more extreme because he was jumping off high shit. And, like, he took so many crazy bumps. I remember matches against Sabu. Where he was just like, it's like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this, dude. Like, you're better than that. But he was just fucking awesome, man. And stoned all the time, so he didn't give a fuck.
I'm in New Orleans.
7-star frog splash. RVD is fucking legend, dude. It's not 5-star frog splash. When I watch him do it, that's 7 stars. I love Kevin Owens, and I love some of the other splashes I've seen. Art Barr gets credit for, like, the legs out and, like, actually being a frog, but... RVD, there are few who would have ever done it as far, as smooth,
as high,
and also, and it's so important, the after sell.
That's the best part of it. He actually acted like he was hurt, because he would be.
And he flips himself over. He like bounces, he uses the bounce of you, and he bounces himself up to the point where he fucking does like a backflip off of you.
It's insane. JR shits on the melts at the end of this.
What did he say? I didn't hear that.
He's like, I don't care how you, whatever star rating you're giving this at all, but this is like a fucking 5-star match. And I'm like, hell yeah, JR.
Yeah. JR's back in my good graces after saying RVD wasn't popular for 5 minutes before.
He was just Vince told him to say that.
Listen, Tony Schiavone, you always rip on him for being a fucking homer, so you gotta be fair and look at
I ripped on him because he fucking sucked.
No, that is not true. I'm fucking, he's really very good. True. You're wrong. You're really wrong.
I'm very right.
You better apologize. Okay. Trish Stratus and Lita defeated Tori Wilson and Stacey Keibler and
in a tag team bra and panties match. Ideal use of Trish and Lita here.
The storyline, like heading in, was okay, but for no reason they just have a bra and panties match.
This was so below these women.
But they were trying to win a war, Tony.
All were good athletes, parade around like animals. It's sold, but don't make it right.
I imagine Mick Foley legit lobbied backstage to be the ref for this match, considering he wants to bang every woman in WWE currently.
No, everybody says he doesn't bang anyone. He's very faithful. That's why they like talking to him.
No, but he wants to, though.
No, that's not true. He's just a nice dude. We talked to him. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Here's the thing. I'm a dad now, and I watch this as a 15-year-old boy, and I'm like, oh my god, what's that feeling? I got my wieners. And it's looking like my gym shorts are tight. I never want my daughter to fucking ever watch this. I don't want her, when she's older, she can watch it, and like, she can be like, wow, what wrestling used to be, right, Dad? With the way, the revolution that's going on over the last fucking 30 years? How we're equal now, and look what it used to be. I'd look back like that, but I don't want her watching this. If she was a kid, I wouldn't let her watch this, because it's like, what the fuck is this? What role model? It's just so frustrating, dude. Well, there's nothing to it. This is tits and ass. This is just the definition of selling tits and ass. When you had Tori Wilson, who's talented, Stacey Keibler was talented, could do things. But Trish Stratus and Lita, they were legitimate fucking wrestlers, dude.
Trish was still finding her way at this point, but I will say that the roll-up by Trish to take off Tori's pants was pretty impressive. Legitimately. It was.
Vince Russo just broke in. Yeah, I fucking like the roll-up, and by roll-up, I mean the thing I was imagining.
Did you see a freaking match, bro?
Unbelievable, dude.
I am shocked that this is all tied up heading into the main event.
Yeah, and this was also the start of the Women's Revolution. I had to throw that in there.
You're a monster. You are a fucking monster, dude. The Alliance, Booker T, Bubba Ray Dudley, Diamond Dallas, Paige, Devon Dudley, and Rhino defeated Team WWF, Chris Jericho, Kane, Kurt Angle, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and The Undertaker.
These seem like fair teams.
No, it doesn't.
Even though, I love the WCW, ECW team.
Yep,
it's a good
course.
Team.
It's like all my, it's like my favorites when those come.
But it just
but then they're facing like the five best ever. We're close to it.
Heyman could sell Eskimos ice. This man is incredible, and when he speaks, I want to follow him into anywhere he goes. Except a bank. Because he ain't getting none of my money.
Anywhere you go, I'll follow you.
Just let him sit in it for a little bit.
I don't know why it was called the inaugural brawl.
The inaugural, because there was going to be more. There was going to be more brawls, but there never was.
There's already several brawls.
Rhino looked amazing here. They dropped the ball hard with him.
Yeah, I mean, you started out, like, feuding with Chris Jericho.
Yeah, it was really, like I said, everybody came in hot, and then they're, like, Vince is like, nope, didn't work, not working. And it's like,
I love the video package for this because, like, Vince going to the bar to convince Stone Cold to fight for him, that should have been in a movie. And then Undertaker and classy Freddie Blassie fucking inspiring Perry Saturn for some reason. Amazing.
That gave me chills, that moment.
It did. It was fantastic. They're like, classy Freddie Blassie got out of his wheelchair to urge on Team WWF.
I like Freddie Blassie a lot, though. Pencil neck geek.
Awesome.
You better fucking stop, dude. The match is so stacked. Booker T looking good. He did. He looked great here. It's almost like you probably should have had him win a world title right around this time, at least within a few months.
He had a world title.
He was the WWE champion.
Yeah, but he came in with it. And then
he lost to The Rock real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you imagine how fucking pissed Paul Heyman was about Stephanie being announced as the owner of ECW, even though it was a work?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it hurt. He said it many the time. He didn't like this period of life.
Imagine if the Alliance had, like, fucking Sting, Flair, Goldberg, Hogan, Hall,
Steiner,
and that.
Scott Steiner.
I guess.
Scott Steiner was a fucking, was a recent world champion there, too.
Yeah, I know, but he's not at the level.
That's when he really, like,
he, what?
Like,
that's when he was
got up.
Oh, my God, dude. He was fantastically insane at that point, dude. He was talking about his freaks and his peaks. Are you kidding me? That was the best Scott Steiner there was.
Yeah, the 2000
still,
Scott Steiner was awesome.
Not at the level of Sting or Flair or Goldberg or Hogan.
He was pretty big at the end of WCW.
Here's the thing, you were never going to get all those guys, so all I needed was three of those guys plus Booker T and Scott Steiner.
Well, you had Booker T and DDP.
Yeah, well, that's two very important guys.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, but yeah, so...
Tim Couch jersey in the crowd? Yeah.
That's why they had to keep Stone... Like, I always thought it was an interesting dynamic of Stone Cold going to the Alliance because it really was just a continuation of him versus Vince.
Yep, and he also had history with both.
I liked Stone Cold's theme song at this time, but nothing beats the original.
Poor DDP.
How about the Rollin' theme song?
Yikes. Poor DDP. Don't ever tell me Vince didn't have a vendetta. His booking was the worst until he sold his ass off for it. But he did. He sold his ass off for it. The DDP, that is. Super underrated, I think. He, in a short time in the business, I think he made a huge mark.
You're a huge mark. Jericho.
Yeah, that is true.
Jericho was just fucking absolutely rolling in this match. Y2J greater than Omega, Okada, and Naito combined.
Disgusting. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Booker T in a grocery store greater than all, though, just for the record.
That was so good.
Mm-hmm.
JR owned WCW in this match. He called it neutered and said it was fucking garbage, pretty much, which was all true.
Disgusting.
He also mentions the big dog. He clearly knew that
Roman
Reigns would be a superstar.
He's a visionary.
Roman Reigns just has all Undertaker's shit. That's what I'm realizing now. He's just got all his shit. Undertaker, he left his gloves. That's why he wasn't retiring. Oh, I found it. He was like, here, you want these gloves? You want this fucking...
Yeah, maybe if you wear this and Roman Reigns didn't get the hint.
Oh, like I said, building up to that match, you should have had him come out and just been like, when he takes his hat off, it's actually Roman Reigns. And everybody's like, oh, man, we don't even like him. And the crazy heat. Crazy match where everyone got their shine. Everyone got their shit in here. Wild ending, just as you'd expect. Stone Cold saved the angle for a short time.
So you thought Stone Cold was working with the freaking WWF because he was beating up the freaking WCW and ECW guys?
That's how hardcore the WCW and ECW guys are, though. They would do that. That's what RVD did, man. He fucking did that shit.
I mean, it was a fun match. I don't think it's better than the Survivor Series 2001 main event, but it's a fun match.
Yeah, I liked it. It was entertaining.
Like, when everyone just goes into a fucking spot fest of going through tables and shit.
Yeah,
it's fucking mayhem. This was fun. Really, it's awesome.
Do you know what this felt like? This felt like a cheesy, cheap version of, like, the NXT TakeOver match. Like, where it was just, like, everybody had spots, and it was, like, a chain of spots for, like, the whole thing. It was telling a story, but it was just essentially a chain, everybody having, like, here's my spot, here's your spot, your turn, you're up. And it was, like, the same thing here, and I like that. I like, when it's done well, it makes a lot of sense when you have such a big, when you have so many participants, so you have to do that.
Huge win for the Alliance here, led to very big things for the group. All WCW and ECW superstars present on equal footing with WWF guys, from this point forward.
So you thought there'd be equality? Not here. Not fucking here, dude.
I love it, man. Austin turning on and defecting again, storyline with Vince, but then also with Kurt Angle, because that feud in 2001 with Kurt Angle was fucking awesome.
JR needs to take a chill pill at the end here. He sounds like an asshole yelling at Stone Cold. He's so mad at Stone Cold here. He deserves to be. He is the biggest mark in town, right? That Stone Cold at the end there. He is like, no, you didn't, Stone Cold. No, you did not.
You broke my heart.
He did. He's like, I don't know where, how we going on the Raw with your fucking ass to bewildering us. It's like, you're losing it, dude.
One of my favorite parts was the end when they're doing the beer bash and he's handing out the beers and fucking Steph, she looks like she wants some Sauvignon Blanc. She doesn't want any part of that fucking beer.
Yeah, I like when
he's no.
Remember when Austin came back and stunned Vince, but he also stunned Shane. And Vince.
Yeah, and then Vince poured all his beer.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Vince just walked over and just poured all his beer on his son, just like, ha ha, ribs on you still. I can do that to you.
That was awesome.
He's just begging for someone he can push in the pool. He's there every fucking, like, his assistant comes in, he's like, you fucking sue. You'll fucking sue. Linda's like, baby, I gotta fucking, here, can you sign these papers? He's like, you're my wife! Fucking boom, right in the fucking pool. Right in the fucking pool. Fucking done. What'd you give this pay-per-view? Out of 10. Score.
6.
I gave it a fucking 2.75.
No, yep. It's not that bad.
I was fucking mad watching this shit, dude. I was mad. BG?
You gave it a 2.75?
2.75, yep.
Fucking out of your mind? It's at least a 5.
No, 2 points came...
The main event, RVD and fucking Jeff Hardy were awesome.
RVD got 2
I think
points
it's passing,
alone.
So I gave it a 6.
That's 60, that's a failure.
No, 60's passing, depending. If it's 60 or 65, it depends.
No, 70 was the cut line for us.
No, it was 65.
It was 70, so yes, it was 92, 100 to 92 was an A, 92 to 84 was a B, 84 to 74 was a C, 74 to 70 was a D, and 70 and below was a failure.
No, I think 70 and below was like, that was in like fucking middle school maybe, but
no,
as you got farther,
60,
went
it was
to 65,
65
and then a 60.
No, that's ridiculous. Not my school. They just fucking let you into fucking stuff. They're like, can you put
the
blocks?
Well, you've been in school for so long, you had all these fucking skills.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, man. I'm fucking...
Keep up, man.
Well, keep up, dude. I don't want to say
you. The fucking curve at his school was like, if you got one question, are you passed?
All right.
Not a joke.
Thank you to Dante Rodriguez for fucking making us watch this. It was a trip down memory lane. Sometimes good, sometimes bad trip, but you know what? It is what it is when you're watching old pay-per-views. Brandon Galvin, let's say somebody was inspired by listening to this to never watch wrestling again. No, to find one of the old pay-per-views that they loved as a kid and have us analyze it. How can they do so?
Patreon.com/ringrustradio. Donate to the retro tier. Then email us ringrustradio@yahoo.com
with the wrestling themed show that you want us to cover.
Wrestling themed show?
Wrestling themed show.
A wrestling themed show would be pretty cool.
Like where it's like, that would be pretty cool. That too.
Yeah, like yeah. But wrestling.
That could be cool. A good game.
Yeah, we should do that and just have fans come on and literally, yeah. you pay for the chance to come on and fucking the
you
winner
win a prize.
Gets fucking one night in NOLA with Mike.
Damn.
One night in
those
shine.
Pralines.
Yeah, you're gonna get pralined on. but yeah, guys, you know what? That was Invasion, but we gotta move on.
Are you looking for elite branding for your company or project? Look no further than Daniel Hayden Design. As a branding specialist, Daniel Hayden Design can provide you with website designs, t-shirt designs, editorial designs, photo editing, and so much more. Check out Daniel Hayden Design on Instagram and Twitter at Daniel Hayden or at dhaydendesign.com. That's dhaydendesign.com. Again, dhaydendesign.com.
What's up, wrestling fans? When you're done getting your sports entertainment fix with the boys of Ring Rust Radio,
join Edge of Philly Sports every Thursday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live on Facebook.
Joey Delco, the Urban Thriller Mike Miller, and Big Al layeth the smackdown on all things Philly sports.
Do you love the Ring Rust retro theme? Are you digging the intro song to Attention Horrors? If you want music for your project, look no further than Elizer EZB Bercasio for all of your custom music needs. Find him on Twitter and Instagram at SOSHISLIKE. That is at SOSHISLIKE. And listen to some of his work on SoundCloud.com/SOSHISLIKE. That's SoundCloud.com/SOSHISLIKE. Remember, check out EZB for all of your custom music needs. That's SoundCloud.com/SOSHISLIKE.
Alright guys, it's time now for Wednesday Wrestling Minute.
Wednesday Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute. Wednesday Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute. Wednesday Wrestling Minute, yeah, Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute,
yeah. Fuck you, Mikey Ari. Guys. Yeah, you like that, huh?
You can't bring me down, Luchas, this week.
Yeah, dude, I'm so fucking excited. Lucha, Wednesday, Lucha. Wednesday Wrestling Minutes is brought to you thanks to Joe Archidiakono and the Solid B-Plus Podcast. If you need more NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, any chatter, check out the Solid B-Plus Podcast, available on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. Mikey Ari, I'm going to give the PG here because he's got the card up, so let's go to the NXT TakeOver Chicago card.
All right, D-Lo, first up,
we bust out those D'Lo Brown heads again.
Yeah.
Get them out. Get your poster. We got the Undisputed Era. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch for the Tag Team Championship.
Oney Lorcan and Daniel Burch.
I think it's going to be a really good match, and champions retain.
I agree. It's strange that Adam Cole is not on the show.
They should have just done Adam Cole against Peter Dune.
Yeah. Just seems
that
would
have been awesome.
All right.
Impromptu six man.
They already did the six man.
Yeah, they did that. They lost. Weird. Next up, Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. Dream match. Sort of.
Ricochet wins with some fucking shenanigans. He wins. I would say he wins maybe by DQ.
Stop picking DQs and everything.
What do you say?
Because you don't want to.
That's
stall.
An interesting pick.
You don't want to
think about that.
You don't want to stall Velveteen's fucking momentum, and you don't want to stall Ricochet's momentum. So you have to do. I would do a screwy, some sort of screwy finish.
I thought this was a lock for Ricochet, but you got me second guessing.
Firstly, I thought Velveteen Dream in that video package that they did on NXT this week, that was fucking. He was awesome.
Yeah,
he's
that was
so
great.
He's absolutely amazing, and that's why I'm saying, I think this is worthy of continuing into fucking SummerSlam.
That's
a long time.
It's 7 weeks. It's not that long. And it's with these two guys, I think they could do it.
I think Velveteen Dream is such a different character and such a different animal than anybody else in terms of, like, he could lose, and I don't think it really even matters that much. And he's still going to be over, and he's still going to be awesome. I think Ricochet beats him. Like, I don't think there's any way Ricochet loses this match. And they generally don't do screwy finishes at takeovers. I don't think they've ever had, like, a non-finish at a takeover.
I'm sure they have.
I don't think that they have. I honestly don't think they've ever had a non-finish at a takeover.
It's a lot to think about. I'm going to go Ricochet. Next up. For the women's championship, Nikki Cross versus Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler retains. DQ. Yeah.
I think Shayna Baszler makes her pass out because she's too crazy to tap out.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that. Next up, NXT championship, Lars Sullivan versus Aleister Black.
Aleister Black wins clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really good match. Like, I don't know if people are really that excited for it, because it seems like people don't like Lars Sullivan that much, but I think he's awesome for a big man. I think it's going to be hard-hitting, really good. But yeah, Aleister Black wins.
He's had good matches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Lars Sullivan really does. He doesn't have bad in-ring performances. He's not like he's fucking Braun out there.
It's like when they had Nia Jax here. It's like she just didn't have bad matches. When like the title was on the line, it's always a good match. Big match moment, always there. So finally, our main event, I'm assuming it closes the show, just like it did last time.
It better.
Chicago Street Fight, Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Let's just real quick, let me just reference what ended last week's show.
No! I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Ciampa comes out.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the week before. Never mind. Go ahead. Do it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ciampa comes out, talks shit, Gargano comes out, they brawl. Gargano throws Ciampa in the board. He fucking tears his head apart.
From
what everybody said, this was cut and reshot because his head was bleeding so bad.
Well, you can tell it was because they showed him, and then they cut away, and then the blood was like almost gone when they showed him again.
Now, when they showed him again, if you notice, what happened was the board is like lit by these like little bars. So when he hit his head on it, it sliced his head wide open, right?
Oh my God.
Like pretty deep. And as soon as he started bleeding everywhere, but when you see they patch it up and they go to reshoot it. But as soon as Joey Garbanzo locks in the Garbanzo lock, the blood just starts gushing again.
Spewing, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then did you see, I love his Twitter account, him putting up these black and white photos of him getting stitched up and patched up and his head and everything. He's like fucking the countdown to this match. So fucking good.
Yeah, I think that Gargano won, and now I think it's time for Ciampa to win.
Yeah, I think Ciampa is sending him away. I think this is the last match for Gargano.
I honestly think we continue this too. I think there's the third and final match, and it's a loser leaves town match, and that's at the SummerSlam NXT TakeOver.
I said this last week, and I'll say it again. I think it's going to be an amazing match, but I unfortunately think that EC3 is going to factor into the finish, because EC3 is the one that was interrupted by Johnny Gargano last week, and he had like this what the fuck face about it, and I feel like he gets involved. Obviously, it's no DQ. Ciampa wins, you branch off EC3 against Gargano, and by virtue of Ciampa winning, I think it's elevated to the main event, and we get Aleister Black against Ciampa at the SummerSlam takeover for the title.
I agree with that, 100%. But not the EC3 part. Fuck that.
EC3, baby! Baby! Get that EC3, baby! Solid gold, top 1%!
You don't even 1%. Like him that much, and you definitely don't want him against Gargano, 1%. But you're pretending like you do.
But, fuck you, I've liked him from jump. You can say whatever you want about me and all
that. Yeah, you like Derek Bateman? You're a big Bateman guy?
BG, how many Derek Bateman videos have I sent you over the years? Him with him? Because he was with who in NXT, Mike?
Katrina.
No, he was with Daniel Bryan, you fucking goofus.
He was with Katrina. He had like a fucking love triangle with Katrina and Fandango, I think, too.
Yeah, well, that was definitely part of what they did as well. But he did stuff with the Bellas.
Johnny Curtis was his name, right?
No, that's...
Yeah, that was Fandango. That was Johnny Curtis.
Unbelievable.
I like...
I'm excited for NXT TakeOver, but it's a lot of wrestling. You know what I mean? It's a lot of wrestling.
But this is going to be good wrestling.
Yeah.
Then you get the Sun... They're so, like, Vince should just be like, stop doing this, Triple H. Stop putting your show before my show.
It was just every 2 weeks we do a show. You do yours 2 weeks, and then I'll do mine the 2 weeks
after. Do it, like, Saturday after our show, please. Like, give me...
I actually kind of miss when, like, it would just be, like, a random fucking, like, Thursday during the week. It'd be like, NXT TakeOver.
Oh, yeah.
That used to be fun.
I like that it's Saturday night.
Saturday's cool.
It's cool, but I did used to like how they did it originally.
I'm with you, Donnie. Like, just two nights in a row. We've already had to watch so much wrestling in a fucking week.
Yeah, it's tough. But I watch a lot of wrestling every week, and now I literally, because of Saturday and Sunday, I literally have to watch it 7 days a week.
So. All right.
Okay, let's talk about New Japan, because I definitely watched this, too. It took me 3 days to finish this pay-per-view. That's not even a joke.
I watched two matches.
There was some really good
four
stuff.
Four matches.
There was some really good stuff, and there was some really whatever stuff, but the final four matches are what's important.
I watched the second half of this. All right, so let's get into it. Suzuki Gun defeated Roppongi 3K.
We figured on that one, so I wanted Roppongi, but it is what it is.
Taguchi Japan defeated Jay White and Yoshihashi.
This was nothing. Nothing.
Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano.
What we're talking about coming out of this is Suzuki Ishii is a singles feud that we're probably going to get coming out of this, and I'm all in for that.
That'll be fun.
Okay, the concussions, the fucking CTE developed in that fucking fisticuffs is going to be insane.
Well, hopefully not. Michael Elgin defeated Hiroki Goto and Tai Chi.
Yeah, so Elgin. Elgin lost.
You picked Elgin, right?
Yeah, because he lost something like 25 pounds or something like that. He's the best he's ever looked. He looks like Dr. Death to a T now, because it's like when Dr. Death was like just jacked up when he was in Japan. He fucking looks awesome. And I knew he changed his gear, and he's been just by his sense online, you could tell they're going to do something with him. So yeah, he looked really good in this match.
The Young Bucks defeated Sonata and Evil.
Yeah, so this was a really good match as well. So I wish Sonata and Evil had I wanted them to hold it a little longer, let the Young Bucks kind of chase for a little bit longer, but with what they did in the main event, I like the idea of the Golden Elite and the Young Bucks as the heavyweight tag team champions. Good move, good moment for them.
Next up, Bullet Club, Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi, Yushin Thunder Liger, and Rey Mysterio Jr.
Lame.
Hurts my heart.
No, and honestly, because it's clear that Rey's coming back, and that's awesome.
You know what hurt my heart even more, Donnie? It was only 11 minutes.
Yes.
It was like 10 minutes.
Well, that is what hurt my heart about some of these matches before, because you could have cut some of this stuff. Not all of this had to be on here.
No, Omega fucking needed his hour and 7 minutes.
No.
He doesn't care about anyone else.
The length of the pay-per-view doesn't matter. They went 5 hours and 39 minutes. So the length, they in the main event, they got to the time, and it was like, they had like 20 minutes. They're like, we're going as long as we want. They're like, yeah, whatever, go ahead.
And people complain about WWE.
Well, listen, Dominion does this, not all the other pay-per-views. It's a one-time thing, and when you have an hour-long
doesn't
match,
Wrestle Kingdom do it?
Oh, yeah, Wrestle Kingdom's super long, too. So it's like SummerSlam and WrestleMania if they were long. And that's fine if they're long. It's the problem is, like, all the other ones. But yeah, this match is a little short, but I like the heels getting the upper hand, because all these guys are coming back. We're going to build stuff from this match. Rey Mysterio is coming back. He's going to do something. And in the meantime, you're going to get Yushin Thunder Liger, Smash Thunder Liger against Marty Scurll, which could be awesome too.
I thought they were going to do Mysterio against Scurll, because Scurll tried to like rip off his mask.
They are, but I don't think Rey's coming right back. So I think they're doing Liger now. He's going to beat Liger, and then Rey's going to come back, and then he's going to fight Liger. I don't know what they're doing with Tanahashi. Maybe Cody, but I'm not sure.
I was pissed that I lost. All right, here, Hiromu Takahashi defeated Will Ospreay.
Yes, this was an awesome match. Did you watch it?
Really good. This was the first match I watched.
Okay.
Really good match, except for once again, Will Ospreay with the fucking bullshit kickouts, Donnie.
Yeah, he
it
does.
Really
he does
upsets
a lot
me,
of it.
Dude. He got like power bombed onto like the concrete, thrown right back into the ring, and I think another move happened and still kicked out. And I was like, dude, come on. Give me a break.
He's got
bull poop.
He's got to work on just like making himself stay outside the ring for long. Just like sell it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Do something.
But let me say something. I said to you, Takahashi, I've liked this dude for a long time. He is really good. And they were going. I was like, I could see they were going to crown him. And the crowd starts to turn on Takahashi in this match. But by the end, they've turned on Ospreay, and they're like pissed at the kickouts as well. They're like, no, this is not what you fucking do. And fucking by the end, you had Takahashi fucking as the face go. Going over, which was it was cool to see the crowd just up and change halfway through the match.
I like Daryl.
Daryl is awesome too. Yes, that everybody who wants heel heat tears him apart.
I got to see Daryl live, which was great.
Yeah, he's a cute cat.
Really, yeah, is. Really good match, worth watching.
Yes, absolutely. I'd put this on the tracker, and I'd put the finals on the tracker too.
I don't think I have those two on the tracker.
I'll add the Super Juniors finals because it's 5.5 okay. stars. I mean, Jesus Christ. But no, it was great, and so were these last three matches should all be on there too.
Cool. Then Chris Jericho defeated Tetsuya Naito.
Wow. Yeah.
IC Championship.
Yo, The Miz. I think I call this. The Miz. Can never say again that he's the greatest intercontinental champion in the world because Chris Jericho is literally winning the title in different fucking countries and shit. He's winning in different companies.
The Miz has no interest in going to the minor leagues, you know?
That's funny and cute because Chris Jericho does, and he's a way bigger star than The Miz ever will be.
Nah.
Yeah, exactly. So Chris Jericho.
The Miz is going to be in rough, so fuck you.
Cool. Chris Jericho comes out looking like Clockwork Orange, like a crazy person. He beats the fuck out of Tetsuya Naito before the match starts. He explains what's happening, and also looking back now, explains the loss too, because he beats the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Then Jericho takes some fucking pretty nasty bumps as well. Guy, he's 46, 48. How old is he?
Jericho?
Yeah, how old is Chris Jericho? Because he takes some nasty bumps in this match.
He's 47.
So, I love when he takes the fucking camera and flips off.
Yeah, that was great.
Just tapes him flipping off.
Jericho knows he's not going to be the same Jericho he once was. And I think he's come to grips with that much more than he did in times in WWE. Like, a few years ago, we talked about he's like not the best in the ring. Because you know, he's gotten really hardcore. He's gotten real, like, he loves throwing shit in there. He loves going to the outside. Loves being dirty, being the nasty fucking heel in the sense, because it saves him. He can wrestle a much simpler match in that sense without having to fucking overcomplicate things. And this was awesome. Him and Naito put on a fucking show, and I did not expect Jericho to win at all.
I think I said he wouldn't, but the beatdown in the beginning was so good. It was such a great way to start the match before the match was started.
And he has a suit on
Naito
still.
Was just getting, he's just getting his ass beat. And I think it's busted open, too. I think it's blown his
he got it above his eye. Yes, it was above his eye, and then they threw him in.
Jericho is so good that the fucking Japanese crowd is cheering him being the shit out of one of the top Japanese stars.
Hold on.
He was the face in the match, essentially.
Well, to be honest with you, even though he was being a dickhead to Naito, Naito is super. They're super popular, but he gets booed. He still gets booed. That's the thing about Japan. They kind of like go with what they
that's
told
Kevin Kelly
bit.
And fucking Cyrus are telling me. They're saying how he's so popular.
Los Ingobernables, like in Japan. See, this is what you don't understand about wrestling over there. Los Ingobernables, Japan. It's super popular. Everybody's got the gear and stuff like that, but they still get primarily booed because like that everybody wants to play along with what's going on. They want to be
But they were cheering a guy who's clearly being the heel.
Well, that's because it's fucking Chris Jericho and they're excited to see him, and you can't blame him.
So they can't have it both ways.
They do. It's Japan. They can do whatever they want. Mm. 9 stars.
I really enjoyed this match, though.
Yeah, this was a great match.
Are they doing Jericho vs. Evil next, though? Like, I don't think anybody really cares about that.
I would love to see that. He's awesome, too. Evil's awesome. Yeah. And
he's good. I saw him against Roderick Strong before live. But
yeah, when he was his original name.
When he was Takaki Watanabe.
Yeah.
But I don't really have a need for Jericho against fucking
I think Evil. It's just, I think you're going to build, Jericho's not losing the title to fucking Evil. He's gonna lose it. He's gonna lose to somebody big. So if he fights Evil, it's just a thing. But honestly, Evil just came down to save him. That doesn't necessarily build into a feud.
Shouldn't he face Tanahashi or Ibushi or something?
I think he's gonna fight one more match in New Japan and lose the title to somebody, put somebody over, and then go away.
Should be Ibushi because then the Young Bucks and Ibushi and Omega.
That's what I was thinking too. And there's history already with Omega. So
and then you could do champion versus champion or something at some point. Omega and Ibushi.
Yeah, I like that. Go ahead.
In your main event, Kenny Omega defeated Kazuchika Okada, finally.
To win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship in a match that lasted 1 hour and 7 fucking minutes. This was
not for me, it didn't.
There you go.
Cool.
Lasted half of that.
Unreal.
This was a brutal match. They had some of the spots from the other matches. At one point or another in this match, they incorporated spots from all of the other matches.
I would hope so. Yeah, an hour and 7 minutes.
Yeah, of course. But the thing is, with an hour and 7 minutes, it can easily get away from you. This, I was entertained. It felt a lot shorter than that. I would have said, like, okay, 45 minutes or so. They didn't quite go the hour, but he's like, yeah, we went the hour. And it was like, an hour and seven. Like, that is a long time to watch one match. But these two guys, mm-hmm. they let the idea of they're both getting tired really play into it. I thought this was as close to a perfect technical match as you're going to get from something given this much time. Because they had all the time in the world. So they're like, let's just tell this super epic saga of a story in this match. And they did. I thought it was fucking great.
It just gets to the point towards the end where it's just like the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm.
Near the end,
it gets to the point where it's just like Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar near the end.
And right, like John Cena that. The Rock. Where
because
like
it was 37 V-triggers in a row, reverse right. One-Wing Angel, reverse Rainmaker, reverse mm-hmm. Tombstone. Like, that's all was it.
Well, because you're going like, for those moves. That's the story of the fucking, match.
He knees him directly in the face, right. Like, three times.
And then he's okay.
Right, and he like just gets up. I'm like, come, like, give me a break.
The one V trigger into the fucking the ropes where he like jumped into it.
Yeah, most of the V triggers that he does is just insane.
He did the one to the back of the neck when he was in like the turnbuckles. Oh my god, I was like, oh yeah, kill him. Stop the wrenching, stop the fight!
He also stole the Styles Clash, so he can't complain about him using his moves anymore.
No, that's why he's we're equal now. We're all equal now. I like that where Ibushi's out there with him instead of the Young Bucks. Ibushi's like, okay, you can't beat him, use my move, try my move, and it doesn't work.
Ibushi should have fucking screwed him.
I think that you're already starting to plant the seeds, because it didn't work. There's the first seed for potential breakup between them. You know what I mean?
It's got to happen. Got to be like the end game.
Yeah, right? But the best part of New Japan is that's probably like two Wrestle Kingdoms from now. Like, it's going to be a long-term booking here.
The worst part.
I'm okay with a year-long booking. Okay, you shouldn't be booking 2 years.
Honestly, though, Ibushi and him in January would be awesome. And you can get there in time. There's plenty of time.
Well, it should be.
That'd be awesome. Really would be. Okada is a great champion. He is such a great wrestler. I feel like his title reign like kind of makes people like not like him sometimes. But I feel like he's so good. He could fucking wrestle anybody and have such a great match. And he's still so young. I think he's like 30. So he's got so much left to do. He deserves so much credit in this match as well. But fucking Kenny Omega, he's the best in the world right now. I love AJ Styles, but Kenny Omega is the best in the world right now. From an in-ring.
So this is your match of the year?
This is my match of the year.
Because if AJ Styles had an hour every fucking time to go and do what he wanted to do, he would right.
maybe,
he would blow
but he doesn't.
And then just, do like the same six moves.
Right.
Yeah, that's fun too. Just
he does. It's true. He does do the same six moves. Like you can say that. I'm not arguing. Omega's an excellent worker. I'm not going to argue against that. But for people to be like, oh, Roman Reigns does the same fucking moves. This guy does the same fucking moves. This guy does the same fucking moves. Kenny Omega does the same fucking moves too.
If you count the number of Roman Reigns Superman punches in a 15-minute match and the number of V triggers in an hour and 7-minute match, I bet you they're comparable.
But that's
I disagree because he did like probably 30 of them.
He definitely did like 10 or 15. And with that said, that's about how many Superman punches we get from Roman Reigns in a fucking 10 to 15 minute match.
You're going to need an hour fucking long match to do it.
But the thing is, you're telling a story. It was 2 out of 3 falls. There were fucking 3 separate falls that consisted of the fucking hour. These guys have a history of going distance. If you're watching Ric Flair and fucking Ricky Steamboat, that motherfucker better go close to an hour because I fucking want it. Because that's what I saw from the rest of them. And they fucking deserve it. And they're good enough to do it.
It doesn't need to, is the point.
I thought it did. In the story that they were telling, with 2 out of 3 falls,
you're not even arguing
absolutely
that. I'm just saying that
to go an hour.
In an hour, he's going to do those same fucking moves.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to do those same fucking moves.
Do you know what the best part of the match was? The best part of the match was the first fall, when he beat him with just like a fucking simple like roll-up, and it wasn't 37 fucking counters of the same move. Like, that was like, actual wrestling.
I absolutely love the first fall. I thought the second fall was awesome too, and I thought the finale of the match was fucking fantastic as well. And finally hitting the one-wing angel to fucking in the middle of the ring. I thought it was fucking fantastic. I love this series.
Guys,
I love these guys. They do great things together.
I think these guys, and I think these guys, and I think that New Japan in general could sometimes benefit from like more of a less is more approach, because I think that you can do what you need to do in less time and with less repetition than what we get sometimes. And I agree that it was not the match here. It's not better than Gargano Ciampa. It was a great match. It was not better than Gargano Ciampa.
I don't think it's better than Omega Jericho.
I think this is the best match. Gargano Ciampa is the match. And listen, as the year goes on, I can watch
it again.
It's not
better than fucking.
I definitely didn't watch this
Gargano
the second time.
Gargano and Almas.
Yes,
I agree.
It
I don't think
is.
It's better than Gargano Almas.
I watched that match live in Philadelphia, and I love that match. And this match was absolutely better than it.
Oh, it's better than a ladder match.
I like the New Japan stuff more than you do, but that's okay, and that's fine. You can listen. That's
and,
the beauty of
and
all.
And
I'll be
the first
to do with
to
it
admit.
Being in New Japan.
I'll also be the first to admit that it's harder for me to get invested in a New Japan match because I don't really care about like who wins or anything like that. Whereas I cared about Gargano and Ciampa.
Oh, for sure, it's all about the story.
Anything.
But I care about the story because I've watched the whole thing.
Right, but I also argue that a lot of people that do watch it aren't really as invested in the story as they say they are, because I don't think they really do follow it all the way through.
I watch New Japan at least once a week. So I have watched this literally unfold for the last year plus. And it's been awesome, and I've watched every chapter, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for fucking Omega to finally win the title, and he finally did. It's a great moment, and I love this match. I love the moment. I loved all the, at the end, them coming together with the Young Bucks and Ibushi. I love this. This was really good. But again, like I said, if you don't follow it all the time like I do, I could see your point of view, and that would separate Gargano and Ciampa from this. I love both.
Well,
the thing
Gargano
is,
Ciampa
I
had
love
the
both.
Same type of callbacks.
Oh, believe me, listen,
feud.
I'm from a fucking
I
technical
think the story,
stand.
The story told for Gargano Ciampa,
yeah,
I think exceeds it. Yeah,
well, yeah, absolutely, and I just think technically the fucking match between Omega and Okada was superior. And that is where it comes down to. The story was great, but I also really love the story of the other one too, and the in-ring from Gargano Ciampa as well. So that it is that's one too. And like I said, when I go back and watch this for a second and a third time, I have to dedicate an hour to watching this match again. But to me,
yeah,
right now, it is my number one.
Also, why were they allowed to just use tables?
Because that's New Japan. The referees don't throw it out. Same thing with Jericho. They just don't.
Well, no, but Jericho did it before the match.
Yeah, but they just don't. What are you gonna do? You gonna throw out the championship match?
Oh, it's bad psychology.
I don't know. I allow it. I will always allow it because it's. You know what? The thing is, the disqualification only counts for full size table, not Japanese small tables.
Okay. I'll buy it.
Yeah, because they are very small tables.
They're very small.
I hate their tables. I just,
yeah.
Where am I supposed to put my stuff? I need 2 more feet of space. Go get me another table. Well, my own fucking table. Oh, my tablet.
Impact Wrestling moments. Z and E successfully defend titles versus Drago and Aerostar. Lucha promotion throughout the show.
Which is great. I love to see that. Lucha and Impact working together. They got great stuff going on, and I absolutely love what they're doing. Fabulous.
I saw a Lucha commercial during Raw.
So did I. Okay, it wasn't just me. I saw it during Raw as well.
Yep. That was awesome. Good. Best part of Raw.
It was! It really was.
Lax defeat Cult of Lee. Dissension in Lax?
Yeah, now there's some dissension, because Conan was gone, and now King is there. And, so there's some dissension there. Diamante and Eddie Kingston.
Eli Drake brings back the Fact of Life talk show and the dummy button.
Yeah.
Nice. Drake versus Moose next week for number one contender.
Yeah, he owns Moose. He fucking destroys him, then he throws the whole fucking, the dummy button, like, table thing that he's on, and fucking just throws it on him.
So. You seen the card for the pay-per-view?
It's starting to take shape.
You see who... Aries is gonna face?
No. Is it Moose?
Yeah.
Well, Moose has been awesome. Honestly, I think Moose
that's
no.
Not good. That's not real good, though. That's not a real good use of Aries.
I think that you're sleeping on Moose right now.
I'm not sleeping on Moose.
You literally don't know anything about him, so I don't
know. I know about him. He used to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he does a spear where he flips.
He's really fucking good. He went to Japan for probably about 6 months just to train and do shit over there. Came back and has been working his fucking ass off. He's really good, dude. I'm telling you, don't
sleep
on fucking Moose.
Should not be main eventing.
I don't listen. He doesn't have to win, but he's really good.
Hey, Donnie.
Are you sleeping on Moose? I think that's bullshit.
Hey, Donnie.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you give a moose a muffin.
Give a mouse a cookie.
Thank you.
You had to get him a glass of milk.
Yeah, you fucking asshole. Go ahead.
Cage destroys Jobber, Seidel out to offer him a chance to be his friend, and Cage kills him.
Yeah, he, fucking, Seidel reaches out, touches Cage's forehead, and says, open your third eye, man, and he just gets destroyed.
Hmm. Should do Cage versus Austin Aries. Madison Rain.
You're building video. To it. You're just not gonna, you know, come on, you gotta have more than that, dude.
Madison Rain video package, and Tessa destroys Kira Hogan, dude.
So I'm pretty sure that TNA has hired at least one or two former WWE video people. They made it a priority to do so because their videos used to be tacky and stupid and dumb, and now they're really good. So it seems like they hired somebody who was at least more qualified to do it, because the video package for Madison Rain made me like really care about her, and the way they're handling the production of the show is much improved as well. So there's little things like that just make these impactful, where I wouldn't even have thought about a video package before. This was like, oh, cool, she's back, when I didn't care before.
Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan are in an unsanctioned fight in the woods. This was actually filmed in a really cool way, and then when Sami disappears, when Dreamer and Alicia show up,
Alicia.
Eddie attacks Dreamer and runs away. So didn't he kind of like kick him in the dick?
Oh yeah, this is filmed. No, he hit him with a bat in the like the lower dick area.
Yeah.
But no, this was filmed essentially like I would compare it most to New Day when they went to the Wyatt compound. It was kind of filmed through the lights of a car, and there was the OVE guys were like hiding and shit, and he had to make his way through the OVE guys, and then finally got to the boss on the level of Sami Callihan, and then he was like, he picked up a sharpened stick and fucking stabbed him in the face with it and shit, and was bleeding all over.
He's gone fucking insane, basically.
Yeah, he's gone insane. He's trying to kill him. He literally said, I'm gonna fucking kill him. I'm gonna kill him. And then Alicia comes and he kicks him in the dick, kicks Dreamer in the dick with a bat, and then he fucking runs after him to kill him, so.
I think somebody needs to buy that man a beer.
I did. And that's why it's been so long. He needs another one. okay, so that was Impact Wrestling. It was really good. Please, if you like wrestling, it's definitely worth checking out.
Dreamer wearing a Lucha shirt?
Yes.
Yes, he was.
Yep.
Awesome.
Dreamer's the best, man. He was wearing a dusty hat the other day, and I was fucking like, literally one of those floppy old fat dusty hats that he used to wear. Do you remember them? Like a hat, but it was all goofy and fluffy. He has like one of them on. I was like, okay, dude, I understand you like him and you were friends with him and shit like that, but the hat, it doesn't work, dude. But speaking of Lucha Underground, by the time you listen to this, there will be the first episode of Season 4 released to the public, and we have not seen it yet, but I cannot express my excitement. I am fucking pumped.
We gotta go do Lucha things!
I am so I know for a fact that we are introduced to the new owner of the temple this week.
Oh, hello.
I'm not saying who it is. It
was okay, shut the fuck up.
It was the preview. We move into the new temple. Chris DeJoseph told us. He said there's a new temple. What the fuck are you doing?
I'm going on mute.
And go ahead, mute it. And I also learned that Jesse Godders will be in the first episode as well. Mike Chiari?
Right.
I know you're pumped. Jesse's a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
Yep. Great, great friend of ours. But yes, I'm super excited for this. So yeah, Mike Chiari, level of excitement. 1 to 100.
Infinity.
1,000. With so many.
Infinity 1,000.
I don't think that one's a number. I'm not good at numbers, but I'm almost positive that one's not real. Hmm. BG, you back yet?
Yep.
Dude, she dies, dude. She fucking dies. Katrina fucking dies, dude.
She can't die.
No shit.
She's immortal. And not a ghost.
She's a ghost. Ghosts would be immortal. They're forever a ghost.
She's not a ghost.
She's a ghost. And I'm ghost. Because this segment is over! Alright, guys, it's time for fantasy score. And Mike Chiari, come on.
In last place, that's 17th, with negative 75. BG.
Yikes, BG, yikes.
Don't worry. We've got a while.
I'm not worried. In 16th with negative 45, Joe.
Oh, come on, Joe.
What the fuck?
Come on, Joe.
Wow, that's embarrassing. In 15th with negative 40, Robert.
It's pretty embarrassing for him, too.
He's still better than Joe.
I don't know.
In 14th with negative 25, Daniel.
Oi. Hey, oi. Do you mean oi?
Hello.
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 Daniel's also one of the best artists I know, so I'm not going to make fun of him. Very true.
We got a fucking Minaj in 11th place with negative 10. Alex McNinch, Ira, and Matt Judd.
That's quite a hodgepodge.
It's interesting, yeah.
It's quite a hodgepodge. I'd watch it. I'd definitely give it a thumbs up on, like, Pornhub.
That's not all you'd do with your thumb.
It would be in my rump.
In 10th with zero. Nothing. Dante.
Okay, at least it's not a negative.
That's true.
It's not as fun.
I think it's more fun. It's very hard to get zero. It's high for 8th with 5, Donnie and Roger.
Okay, me and Roger, Alan Roger, thank you for your service. I said it to myself, I didn't say it to you.
Yikes.
I was a Boy Scout in the Army.
Tie for 6th with 15, Angel and George Sparrows.
Fucking, that is a sexy tier.
In 5th with 35, Andrew Sampson, speaking of sexy
tier. Yeah, he was at a porn carnival this weekend.
Yeah, he was.
He did a transcription for me really quick because he had to save up all of his energy for fucking staring at rubber dolls or whatever.
In 4th with 60, Matt Cantillon.
Cantillani, spit in his fucking face. Every time I see Naomi, I think of Matt Cantillani.
In 3rd with 75, George Cruz.
Okay, I don't hear Mike Chiari's name yet, so I'm getting the sound box ready over here. George Cruz is a very nice man with a t-shirt addiction. He needs to find some fucking help.
In 2nd with 82.5, that's Andrew Skeens.
Oh, shit, dude.
In 1st with 90, it's the artist! Oh, my God! It's the
so fuck this.
That's the buzzer.
All right, let's go on to emails. We're going to start at yahoo.com. Keep them short, keep them sweet, keep them firm. No matter what I am, we're talking about Mike. I hate your nickname. It's too long. We're never doing that gimmick again.
I can't help that you don't have the stamina to press buttons as long as I have to yell. This is from Sean.
Thank you, Cinnamon. Thank you, Cinnamon.
She's so mad.
She is.
That shit sucked.
This is from Sean Stasiak, Colin Delaney.
You've just given up on nicknames at this point.
2 for the person 1. Subject, my live show experience. It's a Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringrustrating and chip it to the email tier. Higher and guaranteed this one mail around the show every single month. What's up, ringrusters? Been listening to the show for 4+ years now and been a Patreon supporter for about a year or so and never sent an email and just liked supporting the show. My question I want to ask came to me when I was watching Finn Balor come out on Raw tonight. What are some moments that you feel completely changed where a wrestler's career was going, whether it be good or bad? I always watched Finn come out and just thought he could be so much more if he never had that injury and need to relinquish the title. I always think where he would have been positioned long term. Hmm. Well, let's talk about that first.
Yeah, poor Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Well, yes. But some people who had their luck changed, good or bad. For me, Daniel Bryan, obviously, when he got hurt in 2014, right after he won the WrestleMania 30 main event, won the world title. Because he was supposed to win face Brock at SummerSlam, apparently, and we missed out on that. Mr. Kennedy, after he won Money in the Bank, because he had to drop the briefcase and was never at the top again. Magnum T.A. was supposed to be, like, the top guy in all of NWA, and he got hurt in the motorcycle accident, and he was done. And then one that's kind of, like, you know, outside the box, but Ahmed Johnson got hurt a bunch of times, and it was very clear that Vince was trying to give him this mega push. And he probably would have been world champion if he could have stayed healthy, but instead he just kind of faded away.
Yeah. I know that hurt you, because you still have all Matt Johnson action figures, don't you?
Fucking roll over prunge, man.
So I'm going to give it to BG first before I get him win.
So Edge winning the briefcase and the cash-in, the actual cash-in on John Cena was huge. That was a career-changing moment for him. But one that came to my mind that I thought was going to be a huge moment was when Dolph Ziggler single-handedly beat the Authority at Survivor Series.
Sick!
Went to nothing.
Yeah, dude, it literally led to nothing. So I didn't really understand the question, so I just kind of went off on my own. And I took it as, like, what would I have liked to seen, like, what happened afterward, like, if something didn't happen.
That was the question.
And I said, like, what the wrestling world would be like if WCW, ECW didn't go out of business, and also if Owen Hart hadn't passed.
I didn't think of that.
That definitely changed his career.
Yeah, so in a way, wow. I did answer that, huh?
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
That is pretty, that's pretty cold-blooded,
it,
dude.
It ended it.
Yeah, you know what? Go, next question.
P.S.
Oh, no, yeah, there's more to this, huh?
P.S. I was at the live show in New Orleans with my buddy who never listened to your show. He was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yes, I saw his face several times.
Appropriate. Poor guy. Since we were both stationed close to New Orleans, we decided to go. I was afraid he was going to leave mid-show to run away from Kiari's weak-ass opinions about Roman Reigns.
Yeah, good, yep.
That's not a thing. But I talked him off the ledge, though, with a promise Kiari would be getting smacked by Donnie. But like always, he disappointed me like every other show.
Yeah.
Donnie disappointed you because I told him to smack me and he did not.
I told you to your face that I was, no, you told me to punch. The original promise is a punch in the face.
Across the face.
And I said, I just want to slap your chest because I would have knocked you out.
You wouldn't have fucked me up. No, you wouldn't have.
I said, if he actually hit you as hard as he could.
If he slapped me across the face, he would not have fucked me up.
Yes, I would have, dude.
An open hand fucking palm strike to your face.
Yeah, I would have been
fine. When was the last time you got hit in the mouth?
I don't get into fights because I don't need to.
I'm just saying, when was the last time you got hit in the mouth? So you're definitely not used to it, so you're going to have a fucking
like
rash.
If he gave you like a little like tap, like a little tap-tap-a-roo, like you're playing golf, okay. But like if he actually went to fucking hit you, fuck him out.
Which I would not be knocked out from Donnie slapping me in the face. All right. No chance.
I think we just got our fucking New York City bet.
What do you mean? It was the New Orleans bet, and you didn't do it.
Right, exactly.
Listen, now he's calling out. Now he's saying he wouldn't be knocked out by it.
Told you out in New Orleans, though.
There's only one pussy in the equation, and it was Donald Wood.
Yeah, because I don't want to knock you out. There's no question I could slap you one way or the other. No one fucking is questioning whether I would hit you. The question is,
get the Ubers.
Listen, I won't hit you. I'm not going
to
hit you.
You wouldn't have had Daddy to get the fucking rides for you.
I can't knock you out. That's fine. Whatever fucking it takes for me to say it for you to keep Ubering me.
I agree.
cool,
PPS,
whatever. Pay for that Uber.
Donnie,
yo, tip him, dude.
Donnie.
You deserve a tip. I'm not going to give it to you.
Same with you, Chinese buffet lady. You really are a piece of shit. You know that.
Have you ever tipped anyone, Donnie?
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, here's a tip. Fuck tip. You.
My dad was in a boat once. I tipped him over.
PPS, Donnie, on a real note, you're the reason I listen every week.
Yikes.
Kiari, I have no reason to, but I'm pretty sure I hate you.
Yep.
I'll take it. Last but not least, BG, you are meh at best. Thanks for the show. Ring Rust!
Ring Rust! We appreciate the feedback.
Very constructive.
awesome email. Thank you, dude. We appreciate you coming on the show.
That reminds me of the Step Brothers part where the Rob Riggle is talking to Will Ferrell. He's like, I don't know what's about you. I just hate your face.
He's like, I want to punch you right in the mouth, but like, I don't know what it is.
All I can do is take that in and just like, you know, do whatever I think I could possibly do. I don't know what it is. Hate your face. Keep doing what you're doing, but I fucking hate you.
Good. Go ahead.
Next email comes from Chad, Gable, Bruce, Richard.
It's just the laziness is for real.
It's not lazy.
Yeah. All you're doing is fucking finishing one name and starting the next name.
That's how nicknames work.
That's not how nicknames work. You get, if you're giant and you get tiny and shit, that's how nicknames work.
Nah.
It's ironic. Subject is, I bought the damn shirt to Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringrustradio. Donate to the email tier or higher. Guarantee you at least one email right on the show each month as long as you put in the email title. It's a Patreon email and Mike Carey sees it.
BG.
Very important.
I also think it's very important to mention this here. Ira, he bought the 3 shirts that I told him to.
Yeah! Yep. Cut your dick!
Yep. Stupid. The swerve of that, people were onto that.
They didn't see it coming,
and I'm
I didn't
what
see it
they
coming
thought
either.
They thought it was a turn, but in reality, I just was trying to troll, and there's no better troll than Mike Curry, who's a piece of shit. I'm still a tweener.
You're not. You're definitely Healy because you're a legit piece of shit.
you won't receive a tip for this fucking comment.
Good.
Rusters, a few weeks ago,
Donnie won the WrestleMania prediction game that is a contest between Mike and BG.
Yeah.
And then demanded that since I lost, wasn't even playing, that I buy a Ring Rush shirt.
This, I don't remember this. Legit, but it sounds very real.
I don't know how that works, but here's the receipts. You know, I'm not lying.
He was, and he bought it.
I went with the Scoop Scoop shirt because that's by far the most ballish shirt.
Yeah.
Love that shirt. Anyways, sure. I'll keep my question loosely pertinent to what I'm talking about. Not exactly what I'm talking about. What's your all-time favorite wrestling merch? Nothing but love for the lot of you. Keep doing the damn thing.
Okay, this is a good email. This, if you're looking for how should my email be, I'm going to send one in. I'm a Patreon supporter. How do I send a good email in? This is a good email. Kept it short. Shat on us. Mentioned some things. Kept it fucking... He knew what we were talking about. He kept it pertinent, but loosely pertinent.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that thing that George sent us today of that busted open radio? It was like, what's the best wrestling shirt of all time? They fucking stole this from us.
Yeah, even though we're doing it after them.
Shh.
Nah, the email was sent before this.
Yeah, email was sent before this.
Okay, cool.
Fucking hackers. Alright.
Fuck, what did Margarita call him? Fucking jokers.
Fucking jokers.
Fucking jokers.
She drove across a 5-lane highway to get off an exit and almost
these jokers.
Almost fucking took out like
looking.
Like 7 cars and shit like that. We're like, oh! Fucking joker. Go ahead.
Was that to Beyond?
No. That was to... I don't know
it was what...
Going.
Yeah, well, it was the indie show we went to.
You sure? I thought that was daytime when that happened.
No, it was during the night.
It was
even scarier.
Because that's why I was like, what the fuck?
That made it way scarier.
I had my head down the whole time. I was like, I can't deal with this.
Just praying. Please let me see my daughter.
I think at one time I was like, you know, I got a kid. You know, I want to go home to her. She's how old is she? And she's diving the fucking lanes.
I was in front,
she's
so
looking
at least
back
at
you.
At least I would have died first.
Yeah, for real. I would have used your body as a shield. I'm like, well, it looks like he died twice here somehow. It's like, yeah, I brought him back to life and then used him as a fucking as a spear to get through the glass windshield. And I left him there.
So funny.
I like my eat, sleep, conquer, repeat shirt.
I know you wear it all the time. It's disgusting.
Yeah. No, it's a good shirt because
It's never been washed.
It's been washed. That's stupid.
You gotta put an R in there for it to be real.
Never been washed.
Yeah.
I personally like the simplicity of the shirts during the Attitude Era, so the
I
NWO.
I thought you were gonna say yeah, like right now. The simplicity of the shirts right now, like the Neville
definitely
level,
not.
And
be a little
A-lister.
Bit better. NWO, DX, and Stone Cold shirts. I had all of those when I was younger and loved all those. I also really like the CM Punk shirt that they debuted when he faced Cena at Money in the Bank.
The white one? The ringer?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But best of all time, best wrestling merch, the Naomi ponytail hat.
Okay. So some stuff. Pillow Buddies. I love Pillow Buddies. They're merch, right?
Yeah, you love to fuck them.
Oh my god. I remember the fucking Sheamus one I plowed early on and sent it to somebody?
Yeah, sure do.
I have a Flair versus Macho Man shirt from WrestleMania. That is awesome.
If Dahmer would have had Pillow Buddies, things would have been different.
I said that. I said a penis-shaped fucking pillow. Long pillow. You would have loved it. And also the stuff the fans send. I get some of the craziest stuff sent to us because of, like, just from the fans. And it's just like... Half the stuff I didn't even know existed. I got the Sasha glasses. I think we got them from George. Didn't George send us the Sasha glasses?
You didn't know Sasha glasses existed?
No, I don't go to the WWE shop.
Are you fucking stupid?
No, these are like legit metal.
Yeah,
ones,
he is fucking.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
that's true.
Is that a rhetorical question? I don't know what rhetorical means. I'm just kidding. But yeah, beat Mike Huey.
I already answered.
Did you say Donald
Wood?
Did you say action figures?
I mean, there's a lot of action figures, so it's kind of hard to say that.
All right, Mark. This is from Laurent Sting Mondon. Subject is Jericho is Patreon email. Hey guys, I'm under the impression that Chris and the man with three H's don't really like each other. Could it be that Chris is, wait, we're on a first name basis here, Chris? Yeah. What are we doing here? That Chris is going to other promotions planning for a career in wrestling after Vince dies. Could the idea of competing against Triple H be a fun way to screw him over? I hope this was short enough. Hugs and kisses on the nose. Love, Laurent. I'm going to answer honestly instead of trolling, Mike. I had a troll answer here about, yes, of course, this is 100% correct. Chris Jericho is looking to buy New Japan eventually for $10,000 and take over and just, you know, take over the WWE, you know. He's going to really Pearl Harbor him. But I think that Y2J understands legacy. He is, he's spreading his name. He's continuing to build his brand.
Spreading his seed.
Well, he's building his name and spreading the brand to more people around the world because he knows that's very important after wrestling is done with his music, with television, his movies, the things that he wants to do outside of wrestling in the mainstream media. So he's trying to bolster his resume by going over to Japan. Like, look, he did this at the end of his career. He's trying to make sure his legacy is cemented, and that's what he doesn't need it, but he also still loves wrestling, and this is what he's doing. But most importantly, he's having fun, and I think that's the root of all this. I think he's just looking to have fun and live his life the best he can, and make money while he still can, and he's definitely doing that. Fuckface.
I don't think Jericho hates Triple H, because I've seen him say in interviews that they did hate each other when he first came in 2002, but he said they're cool now, and...
He'll never trust him.
If you guys notice, one of Jericho's songs is the theme for NXT TakeOver, so I would assume he worked with Triple H on that. And also, by the time Triple H takes over full-time, Jericho very well not even be wrestling anymore, probably won't be wrestling anymore, so I don't think it's anything that he's doing is out of spite. I think he's doing it because it's a new challenge, and he always talks about how he wants to do stuff that's different and that's new, that's interesting to him, and that's what this is. And on top of that, he's making a ton of money for very little work right now. As he said, he's wrestling a couple matches and making big money. He said it's the most he's been making on like a single match basis in his entire career. And also, I think it opens up avenues to do stuff for his crews. And if he works with New Japan, maybe he gets Omega, maybe he gets Okada, maybe he gets, you know, whoever.
He's got big moves already on the ship.
Right,
and
for his crews.
Ones.
He initially tried to work with WWE and get NXT involved. They didn't want to do it, so maybe he's like, okay, I'll go to New Japan, and maybe they'll work with me on that. I think all of it is about, like you said, building his brand, making money, doing stuff that's interesting to him, and that's really all it is.
Yeah, Jericho is a fucking entrepreneur. He is a guy who loves himself, and he loves his brand, and he knows the worth of his brand. He also has a family, and he also loves supporting them. And he says it over and over again. He's like, I'm putting more... And Stone Cold always said it. And that's something that I have always thought of, always. If there is money to be made, make it. Because one day, it won't be there to make.
Boom.
Do it.
Boom. Is that a
and I said no, because Vince isn't going to die.
Okay, that's true.
There's no dying in his world.
There's no dying in his... When he goes to hell, he's going to be fucking... He is going
to be such a dickhead.
He's a great person.
He's going to hell for sure.
He puts smiles on people's faces.
Yeah.
John Cena's favorite superstar.
Yeah, he's going to be bitching. He's going like, Satan, you're running this place all wrong. You know what I do? We're going Broadway with Hitler and fucking Mengele over here. They've got the friends that turned on each other, right? Oh, we're going Broadway with it.
And then Satan would just like, I can't fucking keep up with this guy.
Satan's like, this guy, Satan goes to
his
therapist.
Doesn't sleep, doesn't sneeze.
Satan goes to his therapist and he's just like, he's just too much, he's too intense. It's like the Satan from,
South Park.
Hitler's the therapist.
Vince McMahon is Saddam Hussein.
Come on, let's put Lex Luger.
I guess I'm Ahmed Johnson. Alright, that's pretty good, right? They're both alive.
Not for long.
All right, that is it for emails, guys, and we're out of here. I am your host, the most Donald Wood. Find me on Twitter @Donald_Wood. Find me on Bleach Report. Find me on Travel Pulse. Find me all over the webosphere, baby. Mike Chiari.
I'm @MikeChiari, Chiari on Twitter, and you can read all my articles at BleacherReport.com.
And BG.
BGNY3 and @RingRustRadio on Twitter.
Okay. Guys, ringrustradio.com is our website. It is revamped. We've revamped some tiers over there as well. Ring Rust Radio on YouTube, Facebook, guys, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all over the place. That's where you can rate. Listen, give us some ratings. If you're rating attention ours, rate Ring Rust Radio while you're there. Also, don't forget, there is a Facebook group. If you want to be part of the Ring Rust Radio Facebook group, please reach out to us. We have a bunch of our buddies over there who are running the party, keeping everything in line. It's a good time over there. We're having a lot of fun. You let your freaking hair down, but you can be part of that. So just look for it. I don't know how, BG, I don't know how to get to it. How would somebody get to that?
I don't know how Facebook works.
No. BG is on there, though.
Just type in Ring Rust Radio.
Boom. Got him. At Ring Rust Radio on Twitter, ringrustradio@yahoo.com. That's our email address. Mike, here, how about some shirts?
ProWrestlingTees.com.
If you mentioned Father's Day and dicks, I swear to God, it's the end of the day.
ProWrestlingTees.com/RingRustRadio to get all of your Triple R shirts. Guys, it is Father's Day on Sunday. And again, this is your last chance. You gotta order them now. You gotta order your Triple R merchandise.
You'll never get
for
it
your
in time.
Daddy. For your daddy.
Gotta have faith.
Put it on Rush.
Gotta have
Rush
faith.
Delivery. Say, you know, you ordered it from a catalog. It's gonna take a little bit of time. Whatever. Whatever you gotta do. But order them for your dad. For Father's Day. You know what? Go out for a nice day of fishing. Go out on a lake. You're wearing your Take It Out and Play With It shirt. Your dad's wearing the Cut Your Dick shirt. It's, you know, it's fucking storybook. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. Father's Day. Ring Rust Radio. Bringing them together. Cut your dick!
You're such a piece of shit. I hate you so much. BG, have a patreon.com/ringrustradio. Show them how to sell it.
Great way to interact with Ring Rust Radio and get a lot of perks for it, such as coming on the show. If you want to come on to do a retro or a match commentary, the email section, or fucking bust some dirt sheets, you can come on and do that and participate with us. You could also just send us a retro to review or a match to commentate over. We also have fantasy drafts coming up, such as our July pay-per-view match draft. And of course, our Patreon-exclusive episode, Roundtable. We're going to switch it up this month. It's not going to be booking SmackDown. We're going to talk wrestling video games.
Ooh, cool.
No mercy.
No, it's all WCW or
no
bust,
mercy.
Dude. ECW Anarchy rules.
Yikes, yeah, that was maybe the worst game ever.
Yeah, great roster.
Yeah, you're just, yeah, great roster, and that's where it ended.
I loved being roadkill and then not having good controls in the game.
Listen, Amish Roadkill.
That was a good
greatest.
Preview. Of what's to come.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Guy, any song suggestions? I'm kind of looking down here. I see some stuff.
How will I know?
Okay, I'm down with that. Alright, guys, you know what? Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. We genuinely appreciate it. Please come on back next week. We need all of your support. God bless America, and we will see you next time.
There's a boy, I know, he's the one I fear of. Look into his lies, take me to the truth above. Mm-hmm. He's lost control, can't seem to get enough. Uh-huh. When I wake from dreaming, tell me, is this really true? Ooh, how will I know?
Don't trust your feelings.
How will I know? Oh, oh, oh. How will I know? How will I know? How will I know if he's trustworthy? I'll say a prayer with every dirt sheet. My Kiari, tell me what to believe. I'm asking you what you know about these things. How will I know what I'm supposed to believe? I try to phone, but I'm too shy.
Can't speak.
Falling for lies is so bittersweet. His lies are strong. Mm-hmm.
Gutsy. I'm shaking. Wish you wouldn't lie to me now. Said there's no mistaking. What you feel is really true. Oh, tell me, how will I know?
Don't trust your feelings.
How will I know? Oh, oh, oh. How will I know? How will I know? How will I know if he's trustworthy? I say a prayer with every dirt sheet. My key, I read, tell me what to believe. I'm asking you what you know about these things. How will I know what I'm supposed to believe? I try to phone, but I'm too shy. Falling for lies is so bittersweet. His lies are strong, who do I believe? If he lies to me, he deserves to rot. If he lies to me, he deserves to rot. If he lies to me, he deserves to rot. I say a prayer with every dirt sheet. My key, I read, tell me what to believe. I'm asking you what you know about these things. How will I know what I'm supposed to believe? I try to phone, but I'm too shy.
Can't speak.
Falling for lies is so bittersweet. His lies are strong, who do I believe? How will I know?
How will I know?
How will I know? How will I know?
I say a prayer.
How will I know? How will I know?
My key, I read.
How will I know? How will I know?
I'm asking you.
How will I know? How will I know?